Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. Well, another fun practice, a lot of situations you guys saw. It's just so fun watching those guys compete. And that's what this whole program is about, is competing. Every single position group, offense, defense, special teams. We want to put these guys in adverse situations and just let them go and see who can make the plays. And of course, we're not going to make them all, but it's awesome to watch those guys learn from mistakes and also learn from the good things that they're doing. But at the end of practice, we split the team up into purple and gold, the whole staff, the whole building. The most important draft of the week happened last night, just so you guys know, Tuesday night in the football offices. We split up the whole building, recruiting staff, operations, equipment room, coaches, and then we had a draft. Purple team will be led by Kate Otten, and the gold team will be led by Jackson Kirkland. And it's gonna be a battle. So Friday we'll do a little practice with the purple and gold. They'll work on their plays individually, and there'll be a championship at stake on Saturday afternoon. So Saturday afternoon should be a lot of fun. With that, open up to questions.
Who is the number one overall pick?
What's that?
Number one overall pick.
I guess you'd have to say Kate Otten and Jackson Kirkland were tied for number one overall pick.
Just the decision to do the spring game that way, why did you want to do that? I know sometimes people do spring games with different kinds of scoring systems. Just what's behind the thought of wanting to draft teams that way?
Yeah, this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to make it a game. I want it to feel like a game for our players, and I also want it to feel like a game for our fans. Football is a beautiful game, and I want our fans to be able to go out there and watch a normal game of football that's scored the way it's normally scored. And our mission was to be able to build our roster up with numbers for us to be able to do this. In the future, for whatever reason, if our roster is down numbers, obviously we won't be able to do this. But fortunately, we're in a great situation right now. We have a ton of depth across our team, and the hope is this will be an annual event, Purple versus Gold, and it'll be a battle. It'll be a competitive thing that our whole team and our whole staff will look forward to every spring.
So Brian just said all the tickets are gone for Saturday. So 9,000 people in here, biggest crowd these guys have been in front of since what, the bowl game?
Since the bowl game in Las Vegas.
Kind of mean to the kids, you think, to come out here and see that for the first time in 16 months?
Yeah. First of all, I wish that we had way more than that. I think we can space everybody out and have like 35, 40,000 fans here. And let's make that, let's hopefully next spring we can, I would love to eventually have this place sold out for our spring game. That is the goal. That's what's done in other places in the country, other areas of the country that happens. Why not here in the city of Seattle, where I know football means a lot? But for our players, just having the fans out there for practice these last 3 weeks has been huge. They felt it in those games last year, those four games, just empty stands, empty seats, all these big plays were made, and the support wasn't there. And so I think they are just grateful to have 300 fans out there. One day we had about 1,800 fans, two Saturdays ago. And for their family, their friends, and for Husky Nation to be out there on Saturday is going to mean the world to them.
Hey, Jimmy, not the X's and O's, but is this what you envision practice to be like today? Because from where we were sitting, it was high energy, high intense, and they were just going place to place.
Oh, yeah. And so you guys obviously missed that all through training camp last year because, you guys weren't here. I don't know who didn't let you guys in here, but you guys weren't here. I'll go talk to that guy. But, yes, that's how our practices are set up. They're competitive. we want to have fun. You know, it's always, obviously there's that line, because these guys are competitive and you want to make sure there's no, you know, altercations, which sometimes I feel like I'm out there, I'm like a boxing referee, you know, keeping guys away from each other. But they've been awesome. They've been great all through spring football and really last fall, of protecting each other, keeping each other safe, and staying at that line of like, okay, I know I'm competing here, I want to win, but at the same time, this is my teammate and I want my teammate to dominate people in the fall, and I want to make sure he doesn't get injured or anything like that. But we want our practices to always be energetic and competitive.
Hey, Jimmy, with the way that your special situations go, Coach Donovan said that it stressed him out as much as it does the players, because he immediately has to go into play calling mode and he has to kind of distance himself and kind of refocus. When it comes to the coaches, how have you seen them react to the special situations like the players have to?
Yeah, no, it's well said, Chris. I mean, this is the special situations are also on me. I'm controlling timeouts, what I would do in a game, when I would call a timeout, when I would hold my timeout, how many timeouts do we have left? Do we have any timeouts left? And so this is practice for our players. But this is also practice for our coordinators and head coach as well. And we can't wait to race upstairs and go watch the film and see all the situations that popped up. And then we're learning as well. Well, we probably, next time we're faced with a situation, we would probably do this. We're always trying to continue to grow and develop coaches and players. And that's what these special situations are for. And they're a lot of fun. And you think you cover everything, and all of a sudden something comes up in a game over the years of the last 20 some years, and then you got to think on your feet and you got to adjust. But I do know this: we've covered a lot of situations that have helped us, you know, secure victories here in the last few years, and we'll continue to work those.
We saw a couple of false starts and delays by the offense. How much of that is the defense making that happen, and how much of that is inexperience maybe on the offensive part?
I would say it's more execution by our offense, because we are, you know, some of the younger guys, maybe the third O-line, but our first team guys were making some of those mistakes as well. We change our, you know, we're in practice, we're in spring football. We like to change up our snap count. We can't just go on the same snap count every time, or those D-line are going to have their hands on the ground and they're sacking our quarterback every play. So the snap count can be a weapon. We also made the defense jump offside a couple of times to get some first downs today as well. And so it's kind of a back and forth. But we definitely got to be more clean in our operational offense to make sure we don't have those false starts. But we'll learn from it. It's April, and we'll continue to get better. Training camp, hopefully less flags are out. And then, of course, game one, we don't want to see any penalties.
Jimmy, Latula Gosseneau is really vocal, real physical. How much did you miss him last fall when he wasn't available?
Tule? Yeah, no, he's very, very passionate. He's obviously a really good football player. He does bring a lot of emotion to the defense. And now he's actually even better at keeping his poise. He was probably one of the main ones I had to hold back a few times here during training camp last year. But I love it. I love the guys that bring the energy, that bring the juice, and that just is infectious to the other players around him.
We saw a leaping interception from Kyler today and also a TFL, and he's been doing that. Is this the best version of Kyler right now?
It totally is. Yeah, I've had some fun conversations with him before and after practice. You know, these guys come here, and of course, they're highly touted recruits, and they want to play right away. And, you know, Kyler Gordon needed a lot of work to learn how to play corner at a high level. We all knew he was an extraordinary athlete. And now finally he feels it. You can see the smile on his face. He's like, Coach, I know what I'm doing now. I know the techniques. I know the plays are coming before they're being executed against us. And so it's fun watching football slow down for a player like Kyler Gordon. And he's going to be an exciting player for the Dogs here coming up.
Jimmy, I asked Coach Donovan about this on Monday, but the way Patrick O'Brien is playing, can you envision a scenario where you're playing two quarterbacks? And is that his call, your call, joint call? How does that work?
I think we're going to do whatever's best for our football team to win football games. And I think it's always, there's no like laid out, oh, we're going to do this and this and this and this. The whole goal is to prepare our team to win football games. And whoever opponent we're playing, we're going to put the best 11 out there on offense and the best 11 out there on defense. That ensures us that we're going to get the victory.
Are you seeing out of him what you expected when you brought him in with Patrick?
Yeah, no, Patrick's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, he's made a ton of plays out there. You guys see it. He's competitive. He commands the huddle. He's absorbed the offense and hasn't made a ton of mistakes. But they've all made their share of mistakes, which they're going to learn from. We're in practice. But you see the arm talent. You see the command of the huddle. And I'm excited where Patrick's going to go. It's early. It's only April. We still got a couple more days of practice. And then hit the weight room and then into training camp. I'm just happy that, you know, that room is talented and they're farther ahead than where we were last year. And so that's going to make our whole team better.
Have you seen Taj Davis emerge in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, another guy. It's just awesome to watch. This is what makes me smile, makes our coaches smile, when you just see guys go out there and compete. And when guys go out there and compete and they're making plays, then they're going to get more opportunities to go out there and play. And Taj is definitely somebody in the last, I would say, 4 or 5 practices that has made these tough catches, has made big plays in big time situations that we're putting our offense in. And when guys are able to do that with grit, with toughness, they're going to get rewarded with more playing time. And so now Taj has got to be—he's just got to be consistent, which he has been the last 5 days, and then keep building and keep grinding, and he'll push his way to more playing time.
Speaking of that, who would you say has been the most improved in camp? Who's taken a big jump in your mind?
The most improved.
One, it sounds like, is there maybe a couple guys that you've really observed that have taken a big step forward the last 4 weeks?
Yeah. God, these broad questions. I always have a hard time with the broad ones because there's so many guys I could. I answer direct questions.
Who starts a quarterback against Montana?
We've got a long way to go here. The most improved, I think we got to go back. I got to go back and review the film, and that's probably a good question after the spring game's over. But, I mean, you guys are asking the right questions about the right guys, like a Taj Davis who's showing up. You know, last week, Sora Racanelli's showing up. I mean, Jalen McMillan on Monday had a huge day. James made a few plays. Just got to be more consistent. He's still got a ways to go to clean up his technique and learn our scheme.
What about Julius Erving?
Yeah. I mean, I hope you guys are excited as I'm excited about like our guys on our team. I mean, Julius Erving is playing his best football as well since he's arrived on campus. He's the same class as Kyler Gordon. And, you know, he's finally, you know, probably saying to himself, why not me? Why not me? Why can't I be the guy that go out there and start and be the next great defensive back at the University of Washington? He's been out there flying around making plays, and now he's just got to be more consistent and just keep doing it. And when we lock these guys in the weight room after spring football is over for the next 3 months, him and a whole bunch of other guys got to go in there and get bigger, faster, and stronger. But Julius, I think, is another one that's that you can see that's on the rise.
Coach, sticking with the secondary, your 2016 secondary had a ton of pros in it and guys who were playing in the NFL, a lot of talent. This secondary that you have for this coming season, where are they at talent-wise compared maybe to that group? And then are they ahead? Are they behind? Are they about where those guys were when they got here at the same level?
You're talking about the ending 2016 secondary, like Buddha, those guys?
Yeah, those guys.
Okay.
Where are they at compared to them?
Yeah. You know, I think the guys, and if you start with our corners, you know, with Trent McDuffie, who's obviously played a lot of football, made a bunch of plays around here, you know, a lot of ways he's ahead of those corners that played back then in 2016. He's played at a high level really since he's been on campus. You know, Kyler Gordon still has to go out there and do it. Now he has all the, you know, all the athleticism, all the speed. He's finally honing in on his technique and learning the defense. But I think it remains to be seen where he's going to be when we enter into the fall. Reminds me a lot of when we moved Kevin King to corner. Kevin King had played nickel and safety, and then he played corner all spring ball, figuring out how to play corner, and then he goes in and has an amazing fall, and of course becomes the 33rd overall pick right after that. You know, Kyler Gordon is in a very similar situation where the light is clicked on. He's playing his position at a high level, and now he's got to go out there and go do it in the fall. And then I guess, you know, with the safety positions and the nickel and our nickel, I think we're not where we were back in 2016. We have talent, but we don't have guys, we don't have vets back there that have been doing it for multiple years, like a Buda Baker. You know, we brought, you know, Buki in, who's also obviously he's made a bunch of plays out there, and he's played a lot of football. It's been fun watching him learn our defense and go, oh, I can do this and I can do this and I can. And it's fun watching him just absorb what we're teaching him and helping him make plays out there. And I'm excited about that group. Will Harris, Terrence Brown are doing a great job with those guys. They're playing at a high level. It's going to be fun to watch those guys in the fall.
With the draft tomorrow.
Yes.
Is that something you have on in the background? Or do you talk to your guys, and is it just kind of an affirmation to you that you did things the right way and just kind of proud that they developed that?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, we're just proud of our guys. These are our dogs. These are our brothers. We're excited to watch our guys, their names get called. You know, we recruited all these guys. We've blood, sweat, and tears with these guys for 3, 4, 5 years. Watching them get on the 3.0 board, have a good game, have a bad game, and celebrate with them in the locker room, and then now finally to watch their dreams come true. It's going to be awesome for our whole team and our whole staff to text them and call them, their families and the guys. I got an awesome text this morning from, I won't tell you what, it's a GM and one of the GMs of the 32 teams. He said, well, coach, you guys did it again. You guys have a bunch of guys that are about to get their names called early in the draft. Congratulations. You guys do it the right way. And I just love when I see stuff like that. And, you know, when you guys write our story about whatever signing class we signed in December, it's going to be awesome. We'll probably be like 15th place out of the Pac-12 or something like that. It'll be like dead last. And then, you know, we'll have just probably half the guys go on and get drafted and get developed and play a long time in the NFL. And so I take pride in that. And I think our staff takes pride in that.
Is Keith that sleeper that you just kind of shook your head a little bit about?
Keith Taylor? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, our highly regarded two-star recruit. Yes, he's going to go somewhere. There's a lot of chatter about him, and it's going to be fun to watch his dreams come true.
Hey, Jim, how involved are you with your guys on draft day, knowing how important it is for them? Do you try to keep in touch with them, or how does that work?
The guys getting drafted?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we just send them supportive texts, calls. There's so many things that happen. There's so many expectations, and I always call the guys usually and say, hey, look, I know they're saying this, but if it doesn't happen, don't worry, you're probably going to go right around here. And so we've had a bunch of guys, as you know, we had two guys that we thought were going to go in the first round, and all of a sudden they went in the first pick the very next day in the second round, the 33rd overall pick, when a whole bunch of guys were like, oh, you're going to go in the first. And so you just try to prepare them for, don't be disappointed. You're going to get selected. May not be where you're going to be selected. That's just going to build that chip on your shoulder and make you compete that much better. And so we're just proud of our guys that they're going to get their name called. I know that those four guys are going to be on an NFL team and probably in a pretty high round.
Where do you think Molden fits in the NFL?
Yeah,
nickel,
is he outside corner?
What
do you think is?
Yeah, I think he could play. He could play for sure nickel, corner, and he could play safety. And I think in that order. Nickel's a huge part of the NFL now. For the last few years, everyone's, you know, running, you know, one tight end, one running back, three receivers, a lot of those sets, which typically defenses will deploy a five defensive back look with a nickel. And everybody's playing it. it should be listed on the ticker. It should, it shouldn't just say corner and safety. I've always said it should say nickel. This guy just got drafted as a nickel. It's a huge part. They put 70-80% of the time those guys are out there playing. First down, second down, of course, third down and fourth down, 2 minute drills, and you name it. But I think Elijah is a probably is a nickel and a corner, and if somebody needed him to play safety, he can do that as well.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's
okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.